Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 179, Five Convention Pet Peeves. That's right, episode 179. So before we go any further, I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike. I think you're in for an interesting episode. It's kind of an unofficial part two to our TotalCon 2017 episode that had released. And I say unofficial because it's inspired by that episode. It's not like it's TotalCon part two, really, like the stuff we left out. There are things that were talked about in that episode that made me think, oh, hey, you know, we have something. We have a topic that we can do for another episode. So that's why we have this here. And before I go any further, I want to let all of you know, I don't expect you to remember everything we talk about, but that's why we have the link to the show notes. That's the only thing you need to remember, that one thing. wargamingrecon.com/WR179. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR179. You go to the show notes, and we'll have links to all the other things we talked about. We'll have the show outline and all that kind of stuff, so you can follow along. But as I said, had recorded episode 178, recorded the TotalCon 2017 episode, recorded it with my buddy and co-host Adrian Benson, and as we were recording it, and even normally I don't listen to episodes because I'm like, okay, I lived it. I recorded it. We did it. We're moving on. I'm already on to like the next two or three episodes down the road. But I listened to this one, because people had said things. They're like, oh, you know, it sounds good. As we recorded, we had Mr. Mike Kafis, who was great. He's fantastic. I can't say enough wonderful things about him, but he was our audio guy on the scene, making sure our levels were good so that when the recording went off to Josh Shoebridge, that he didn't have to do as much. And we were done, and Mike said, you know, you guys are fantastic. This is really good. And he had all these wonderful things to say, and I thought, well, maybe I'll listen to it. Maybe it sounds good. I don't know. I'll give it a try. And I listened to it. I realized one of the things that, for me, that really came through in that episode was the knowledge that Adrian and I were sharing a lot of what I'm going to call pet peeves. And I don't want to diminish them for either he or I or anyone else if you had feelings about some of the stuff that we talked about. But I realized when you go to a convention, whether it's TotalCon or any convention, there are going to be things that are annoyances that are getting problematic. And it's important to identify those in advance so that you can then see, is it worth going to a convention? Is it worth going to this convention? Is it worth going to it again? And also so that you can really figure out, is it something unique to that convention? Is it something that really bothers you? Is it something that you, as a listener and as a convention attendee, something that you can then do something about to maybe modify things on your end? Because I'm a firm believer in taking a negative, whatever it is, and trying to make it into a positive. Just flip it over. Turn a new leaf. Firm believer in that. Some of these are things that you and I, we can experience and say, okay, you know, it's not great, but we can fix it. So let us do our part to do that. And some of it are things that I think conventions need to hear. And I know some convention staff listen to the show, and I'm hoping that if they feel that any of these things apply to them, and I'm not saying that they do, but if they feel that any of them apply to them, that they will take it to heart and then make any modifications if necessary. So this is an episode where I'm to quote Peter Griffin from Family Guy. He's just, dang, he's funny. But to quote him, these are things that grind my gears. is what it they are. So let's just kind of dive in with the list. So number one on the list, and these aren't in, like, number one's the most important. These aren't in any particular order. But the first thing on my list is when a convention has unnecessarily difficult experiences. These are things that maybe they're hard, but they don't need to be as hard. Or maybe they shouldn't be hard at all. So for example, back in that TotalCon episode, a simple thing, and other conventions do this, and I wanted to seem like I'm picking on TotalCon, because I'm not. It's just they are fresh in my mind, and that's why I have them mentioned by name. But if you are a game master and you're running a game, it'd be nice for the tables to be numbered or labeled in some shape. That's harder than it needs to be. Not having them identified. So as a GM, you come in, where is my game? Where am I supposed to set up? I don't know. Over here, over there, somewhere. Maybe down the hall, or I don't, in that corner. There's a light. Just go under the light. And we think we don't have it. Well, me, I don't know. Easy fix. Some people refer to it as low-hanging fruit. Some people refer to it as a quick fix. It's a simple thing that any convention can do. And it's not just labeling the tables. It's a great example, I think, just because it is so easy. But other things that might be unnecessarily difficult would be having an adequate gaming space. Whether that is you have a convention that puts too many events in one room, or a convention that doesn't have enough tables. They say, okay, we're going to have 5 events in this locale. We can only fit 2. Like, think about that. Or having the convention in a hard-to-find location. If it's you go over the bridge, and then you take a right, and then a left at the pig farm, and then you go underneath through the tunnel, turn left again, and then you do, and next thing you know, you're out in the woods, and this is where the convention is. No. Make it easy to find. Make it accessible. Again, it shouldn't be that hard. People should be able to easily get to you. They should be able to easily park. They should be able to easily find. That's the key here. I mean, a lot of these are quick hits because they're easy, I think, to fix in how to make people able to better find you. But there's a variety of things. Don't make registration too difficult. Don't make people have to walk too far to throw away the trash. Disney, right? Disney's like 30 steps away. There's a trash barrel, I think it's what it is, in any Disney park. Because they don't want people to litter. We don't want to litter. I don't want to litter. You don't want to litter. Make it easy to find the bathrooms. Make it easy to... It shouldn't be too hard. People are coming to a convention to have fun. Some people are coming because it's work-ish, right? Whether they're a vendor, they might be a distributor, maybe they're booked as an industry guest. Maybe they're, like me, they're a podcaster, right? They're going to cover it in some capacity, so it's sort of quasi-work sort of thing. But most people, they come in, it's like their vacation. They come in to have fun. They don't want to have to think too hard. And I know that sounds stupid, right? Oh no, you got to think. What a terrible thing to say to someone. How dare you use your brain? They use their brain all the time. And they're thinking really hard all the time. They work, they play, they have all these things going on. They come into the convention to have fun, to relax, for it to be easier. So the convention should do what it can to make things as easy and accessible as possible. So maybe something has to be a little difficult. That's okay if it has to be. But if it doesn't need to be as hard as it is, don't make it as hard as it is. Number two, registration problems. Always annoys me. So these are things like, okay, I, as an attendee, should not be able to register for a convention and register for an event, like pre-register for it, if the event is sold out. Or as a GM, I shouldn't be able to go and look. First of all, I should be able to go and look and see how many people are registered for my event, or at least see whether in advance or on location whether my event is sold out. I should be able to find that out easily. And if I can't, that's a problem. Because maybe I'm, as a GM, I'm going to say, I want to get people to come to my game. Or maybe I don't know if I have any no-shows. Registration problems. Or maybe as an attendee, I'm switching hats again. Woo-hoo! I'm switching hats. Maybe I'm going to a convention. And I'm like, oh, I really want to play in this game. I really want to play in game XYZ. And I sign up and I think I'm in. But it turns out it's already sold out. The convention should be able to set that up so that it stops me. Whether it has a little note that says event full, don't register, or crosses it out, or if it somehow removes it from the listing. I don't know. There's options. I don't know how easy they are. But as an attendee, I don't want to be thinking that I got into something. Get all excited. I'm getting to play with the Perry brothers. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I'm into this panel. It's wonderful. And they're going to talk about, and then, oh, we're sorry. We're booked. Set it up. Make it so that I can't get in. So that when I go and I look, say, oh, I'm going to sign up for this panel. I'm going to sign up for this game to play with the Perrys. I'm going to sign up for this game to play with Mr. Mustafa. Oh, wait. No, it's booked. Okay, I'll pick something else. That'll be cool. Because if I don't know, by the time I then find out that it's booked and that I didn't get in, maybe something else that I wanted was booked. And therefore, we have this avalanche effect going on. It's poor customer service. It's just, it's not good. And also, for registration, I really dislike when conventions open up pre-registration too far in advance of their event. So if, let's say you have a convention that's coming up in September, I'm just making it up, the convention should not, I repeat, not open itself up for pre-registration too far in advance. If it's January, February, don't open it up. It's too far. People aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about other things. As an attendee, I'm not going to go to my friend and say, hey, Adrian, hey, Mike, hey, Alex, there's this thing I really want to go to. I think you should go to too because you're going to have fun. Oh, but wait, it's 7 months away. They're going to be like, what? I can't plan for that. I don't know what's going on tomorrow. Got to think about it. It's really frustrating. And it also kind of plays in as well with, and this is slightly different from registration, but tied in with hotel rooms. So if you happen to be going to a convention, the convention might have worked out a special convention rate, a conference rate at the hotel that it's at or near where it's at. It's great. It's a good way to save some money. First of all, it should be a really good rate, right? Because otherwise people are going to look online. But second of all, that should not be released, again, like 7 months in advance. It shouldn't be released so that it's booked out completely before the year of the convention. So some people know, like I know, for example, certain cons happen every May, they happen every February, they happen every September, whatever. So I might think, oh, next year I want to go to whatever. But I shouldn't be able to book a room now at the convention rate for that. I understand hotels are doing their own thing and they want to get people in and yeah, you book a room. But at the convention rate, wait to like, I don't know, a few months beforehand. You release that before pre-reg, but a few months beforehand. Not like 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. And I've seen these things, not for things I've gone to necessarily, but I've seen them. And it's ridiculous. Come on, people. Again, I know the demand goes up. And so convention staff probably think, oh, we've got so many people coming and people were complaining that they couldn't get a room. So we want to release it earlier. That way we can promote it and people can then jump in earlier. But that just makes this a self-fulfilling prophecy where it gets released earlier. So the same people who are pre-registered for a hotel room, pre-booking a hotel room, are booking it, but they're doing it earlier and earlier. So then other people can't get in. And then that forces the convention to say, oh, well, if we get all these people getting hotel rooms 6 months in advance, we need to open up pre-registration for the convention like 4 months in advance, which then just pushes the problem off and off and off and off. Next thing you know, people are booking 4 years in advance, which is ridiculous. No need to do it. Really annoys me. Really grinds my gears. I know it feels like I'm just complaining, but I tell you, the purpose is not for me to just be like, oh, this annoys me. Purpose is to highlight some things that might also annoy other people who go to conventions, like I said, so that con staff can kind of deal with it and so that you and I can deal with it. So if I see a convention opening up pre-registration so far in advance, and I know they have a history of it, I got to modify my behavior so that I then will be like, okay, the convention's really in November, but I know I need to actually act on it in April. So I need to then talk to my wife. I need to plan things out for childcare for my kid. I need to do all that kind of stuff so that I can then register and make things work at the same time. And also, it comes into play with budgeting. It's a huge, crazy issue. And it's just, I think it's so much better if things are closer. But again, I can modify my behavior to try to deal with things and make it more accessible, especially if the convention is not going to modify theirs. And they might not. I mean, they might be like, that Jonathan, it's one guy. What do we care? And, you know, everyone else said it was fine. And if everyone else said it was fine, then the convention has to go with what the majority of people are feeling and thinking about it. They can't act on just one person, especially if that one person, if they're like, well, everyone else said it's fine. So, you know, one person says you get a tiger under your bed and 19 people say you don't. I'm going to believe the 19 people and not that one, just how it goes. So those are the first two. We have unnecessarily difficult experiences or problems, and registration issues, registration problems. Number three, unclear rules. Almost every convention you go to will have some sort of set of rules, user guides, terms of service, call them whatever you want, service agreement. They'll have these in place, partly for their protection, partly for yours. These, whether it's code of conduct or whatever it is, they need to be easily found, easily identifiable, easy to understand. They need to be worded in the vernacular, right? And they should at minimum say things like what is and is not allowed and how monetary transactions occur. How do you pay for the con? How do you get reimbursement? Some conventions do GM reimbursement. How does that work? You need to know in advance. It's basically a contract. Like, if you do these things, which are acceptable, we let you come into our event and have a good time. If you do not do these things, which are acceptable, if you, in effect, are doing things which are not acceptable, you are a bad boy, you're a naughty girl, you get time out, you get kicked out of convention. But we should know what the rules are, right? You're playing a game, you want to know how to play. You go to con, you want to know how to play the con, play the convention. So they should be there. And I think by and large, a lot of conventions do a good job of this. Not all of them do, but like, say how much the ticket price is. Say how people pay. Say whether or not you're allowed to cosplay. Do cosplay weapons need to be bonded, you know, wrapped up so that you can't use your foam sword to whack people on the head? Because that's probably not the purpose. And if it is, say this event allows you to do boffing or whatever. Put it there. Just makes it easy. Takes that out. Some conventions don't. Annoys me because it's an easy fix. It kind of relates to number one, but it's important enough that people should know the rules. Number four on my list, a lack of gaming variety or too much variety. You're thinking, whoa, wait a sec. How can both not enough and too much be a bad thing? Like, you're saying not enough, so if they have tons of variety, why are you upset? Jonathan, what is wrong with you, man? I hear you. I do. Let me explain, okay? So let's pretend you're going to a convention. You're going to a tabletop convention. And they happen to have a bunch of games, five games, a bunch of games, whatever a bunch is for that size of convention. They have a bunch using the same rule system or the same time period. There's a bunch of games using bolt action. There's not much else, just bolt action. And you go to the convention thinking there's going to be a lot of stuff because it's just a gaming convention. It's not a bolt action convention. It's not a Warhammer 40K convention. It's just a gaming convention. It's not a Black Powder convention. It's not a Hail Caesar convention. It's just a gaming convention. You think, okay, we're going to play a variety of games because it's not specified anywhere that the focus is on whatever. The focus is on Napoleonics. The focus is on sci-fi. The focus is on pulp gaming. It doesn't say that. It just says, tabletop gaming convention. Yay! But if a majority or a large chunk of the events of the games are for that one set of rules, you're like, darn, I already played that. I like it, but I can only play so much. Or you're like, darn, I don't like that. What am I supposed to do? I paid all this money to come into the con, and this is what I can do? Yikes. So you want a little bit of variety. Having some repetition is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, not everyone's going to get to play in every slot. Some people might not be able to play each day of a convention. Some of these cons are like 5 days, right? That's a long time, people. Not all of us can go for 5 days. So it is nice to have some repetition, but it's also nice to have some variety so that you don't have all the World War II events in that afternoon time slot every single day. Maybe one's in the morning. Maybe one's at night. People have different things, you know? Maybe some people, I don't play morning events, right? Hands up right now. You can't see because it's an audio podcast, but hands up, right? I don't do morning ones because I've learned me and mornings aren't friends. Yeah, I wake up early because I got a 2-year-old. I'm up at 6 or whatever. I was up at the crack of dawn at TotalCon. I could not function for a 9 a.m. or a 10 a.m. game. Come on now. I mean, at TotalCon, I was at a 10:30 interview for the documentary, but that was a chore, a happy chore, because I was like, yeah, I'm in a documentary. Woo! But I was like, oh my goodness, 10:30? Come on. Because like, I got to get breakfast, got to get dressed, got to get ready, all that kind of stuff. And then get into a 9 a.m. game, considering, even though I'm not a night owl anymore, because again, 2-year-old, so like 7 o'clock comes out, I'm like, oh, I need to go sleep. But even considering that, like at a convention, I'm going to stay up later. If I'm playing a night game, an evening game, maybe it starts at 5 or starts at 6. It probably goes until like 11 o'clock at night or later. And for me, that's late. And even if it's not late for you, then you might do something else after, right? So that means you're getting less and less sleep. And if you wake up in the morning, if you're like me, you might be like, I can't do a 9 a.m. event. Forget that. So you do the afternoon and you do the evenings. Or it's the other way around. Maybe you don't stay up late. So you do the morning and the afternoons. Or maybe you're like, I need a siesta. I know a guy. He's an industry guest at some conventions. And he takes a nap in the middle of the day. It's just what he needs to do. So do you know what? He's not doing things in the afternoon. He's going in the morning and at night. Afternoon is all his. So if there's this, I'm going to use Bolt Action because I ran Bolt Action with Adrian at Total Comp. If he really wants to play Bolt Action, and the only time it's being run is in the afternoon, there's five games in that afternoon slot, which is really weird, but let's pretend that he's going to be like, oh man, I can't play. And it's going to leave him with that negative feeling. It's bad. It's not good. Spread it out. And part of it is reliant, I know, on the game masters, the people who are submitting the events and saying, we will run this and on when they want to run it. But I think it also is up to the convention. I think they have a responsibility, really, to say, okay, you know, we have a bunch of games of this type at this time. Would you be willing, Mr. or Mrs. Game Master, to do it at a different time? Same day, but different time. May we put you at a different spot? May we put you on a different day and work it out with the Game Masters? You got to have that rapport with them. And a lot of Game Masters, I think, they repeat, right? They like the convention. They come back year and year. And even if you're a first time, like work with them, right? To try to make it happen and see what you can do. And if you can't, then ultimately you have five at the same thing or you spread it out or whatever. But I think you have to do something because just keeping it where you have this clump, it's not good. And then to flip it, because I did talk about too much variety. It was lack of gaming variety, too much variety. If you have a million, not literally, but you have like a bunch of different games, right? So many, in fact, that you might not be able to provide enough depth in whatever. For example, World War II, again, is very popular. People love World War II. People love Napoleon. I'm going to pick on Napoleonics now. Let's pick on Napoleonics. If you have a lot of events, and maybe you have one Civil War, you have one 15 mil, you have one this, you have one that, one system uses Black Power, one whatever, and someone comes and they're going to see all this large collection, a nice medley even of games here, but you only have one Napoleonic game, and that's why I came. I understand you are a tabletop gaming convention. You are not a Napoleonics convention, but tabletop, so I get that. But I came because I'm hoping to play Napoleonics, and the only time you have it is on the day I can't be there. As a convention, not your fault, right? And as GMs, not their fault either, because you as GM and you as convention staff, you're doing the best you can. You can't please everyone. But you can try to provide a little bit of redundancy, a little bit of depth. So I'm going to pick on, or highlight, I guess, because it's good picking on. But I'm going to pick on Huzzah. Huzzah happening in 2017 up in Portland, Maine. Fantastic convention. TotalCon, fantastic convention too, actually. But Huzzah is doing some nice depth this year. So they're highlighting some Stalingrad events. World War II, Bolt Action, and they have a lot of variety, but they're providing a little bit of depth, partly because this is a highlight event for them. They're working with Warlord and so forth, but they're providing some depth. So if you are going to Huzzah, and you're like, oh, I want to play Bolt Action, I want to play Stalingrad, woo! And you go, and you're like, oh, wait, all these events are on Friday. I'm not going to be there Friday because I got to work. I can be there Saturday, though, and there's nothing there. You're sad, right? You're upset. You're angry. The con's smart. They kind of have them spread out, but they also have some depth so that it's not just one Bolt Action event. There's a few so that no matter what, you can probably get into one of them if you try hard enough. And it's not going to be that hard to do. So great example of them doing it right, but it could easily have been wrong. It could be like, we got 15 different games. Only one is Bolt Action. Only one is World War II. And it's here, you know, in this really odd time slot that people aren't going to, it's in that morning slot. I hate to pick on the morning slots, but most gamers aren't going to the morning slots. Historical games are a little different, but generally not going to the morning. No one's going to go to that morning slot, or it gets put in that room that no one can find, which goes back to number one, unnecessarily difficult, but makes it hard. No one's going to find it. No one's going to do it. So why bother? It's just, you know, I understand. I do. I really do. But let's make life a little easier for people. And the number 5 of my pet peeves for conventions is going to come to you right after I recap. So number 1 on my list, which is, again, in no particular order, but number 1, unnecessarily difficult experiences, things that are harder than they should be. Number 2 are registration problems. Open up pre-reg too early, having hotel booking too early, making it too hard to register. You got to jump through a lot of hoops. Just, it shouldn't happen. Number 3, unclear rules. Things that don't explicitly state what is and is not allowed. Rules that are hard to find. They're not on their website. They're not posted on the event. You know, things like that. Number 4, lack of gaming variety or too much variety. They only have one type of event, but it's billed as a gaming convention, not a Catan convention, not a Carcassonne convention, not a Ticket to Ride, not a Meeples and Miniatures convention. Whatever. You understand. Number 5, no attendee feedback. No feedback. The convention doesn't have a way for you to give them feedback. That is bad. That is, I think, the worst, because everything else can be fixable if a convention allows you to give them feedback. If they don't create a way for you to give feedback, I think they don't care. I really do. Or they're ignorant. They don't get it. And in this day and age, there's no reason for that. Maybe, just maybe, they truly don't get it. So I want to give them that out too. Maybe it's not that they don't care, that they're heartless, but maybe they're just like, you know, we don't understand what the best way is to do it, so we're just not going to tackle it. And I know that happens sometimes in life with things, not just conventions, but, you know, work or whatever, places and things. Just like, it's too hard. I don't know. I can't. I don't have it figured out. So I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to do the wrong thing. So I'm not going to do anything. And you're like, oh, man, maybe that's better. It's just better for me to not do anything. It's not. It is absolutely not. So nowadays, you don't have to. You can have a variety of options. And again, you want to make it easy and accessible, not just be like, you can give us feedback. If you go to our Instagram page, which you can only get to by signing up through our newsletter, after you do this, that, and the other, ain't nobody got time for that. No. You got to make it easy. You have to make it accessible. You have to make it available for people. So know your audience, first of all. If a majority of the people who go to your convention are tech savvy, something like a SurveyMonkey might be a good idea. It's quick, it's easy for you. It's free, actually. It doesn't cost you a dime, which is nice. You can upgrade for paid option, but you don't have to. And some simple questions. Did you have a good time? Tell me something you like. Tell me something you didn't like. And with these kind of things, it's actually best to have, I think they call them radio boxes or radio buttons. So it'll be like multiple choice, really. A, number 1, for the question, did you have a good time? Yes. Number 2, no. Number 3, I don't know. Number 4, what are you again? Put things in. People are more likely to fill it out if it's multiple choice, honestly what it is. If you just have a, can you tell us a sentence about what you liked and didn't like? Nope. Next. Crafting a good survey is hard. SurveyMonkey makes it easy. And even if it's not a great feedback form or great survey form, it's better than, honestly, it is better than not having any, because you'll still get some people to give you feedback who wouldn't otherwise. If you don't have a lot of tech-savvy people, maybe it's a bad idea to do an online or digital feedback way. Maybe you want to have actual forms, something printed out at the convention, and people can just write down something on it. You have something for them to write with. You have a thing that they fill out, and have a box or something for it to go in, so that way people feel like it's confidential. Maybe they don't want to be identified. Maybe they're like, you know, I didn't have a great time because this, that, and the other thing. But I don't want you to know it's me because I don't know, mate. Like, maybe you're going to be mad. And I don't want you to be mad at me. Because maybe next time I come, like, it'd be worse. Target me. I mean, people think different things. We should give people benefit of the doubt. Make it anonymous as much as possible. And you can do a hybrid. I think this a great approach would be to do both. Have something like at the convention, whether it's paper or whatever. You can do QR codes for people with smartphones. So people pick up their smartphone and they just scan and they go beep. And then it brings it up on their phone and they can just fill it out. Can email it out to them. You can tell people to tag you online, whether it's on social media, to leave a comment on your social media. A lot of conventions have like a Facebook event. They have a Facebook page. Maybe they have a Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Snapchat. Have people email you. Email is cool. snail mail. Give them your mailing address. Why not say, please, whatever. If they want to pay for postage, why the heck not? Let them send it to you that way. I'm not saying phone number. You don't necessarily need that. But like, you can do these things. Do survey, whatever. And even if you don't have these official methods, I hope that conventions look online, at least nowadays, just to see if people are saying anything about it. So when I was at TotalCon, there was a free service that was mentioned to me by one of the convention organizers. It's called Mention. And Mention is cool because it does the hard work for you. It looks online for mentions, like the name, of whatever you put in. So let's pretend your gaming convention is called the best gaming convention ever. You type that in as what you want it to search for, and then it'll pull up every day mentions from it. If there is a mention, if there's not a mention, then you don't get anything. But if someone puts on Twitter or social media, if they there's a thing, a website mentions you, Google, whatever, it does it. You can also do it with a Google search. You can have saved Google searches and they show up. I do things like that for the show so that whenever someone says Wargaming Recon, I get a notice, oh, Wargaming Recon was mentioned. Wargaming Recon's in this Google search. Or if there are other topics that I want to cover, not just the show, but if there are things that I want to cover, then I have that in there as well. It's just a cool and good way to kind of stay up to date with that. So for convention staff, I think it's good to have that. So it's more passive on the part of attendees, but it is a little more intensive for organizers, so I understand why that might be a problem. But it's a way, like, if you don't want to do, like, having a form that someone fills out in person, you don't want to have something online, you don't want them to tag you on social media, you can have this happening, because people, they're still going to talk. I know we're not all tech savvy, I know that, but enough of us have these smartphones and things, where they were taking our pictures, oh, look at this, and then we're putting it up online, especially if there's Wi-Fi at the convention, saying, I'm at convention super fun time. I'm at Havoc. I'm at Huzzah. I'm at TotalCon. I'm at PAX. I'm at Historical. I'm at whatever. I'm having, see how good of a time I'm having. I want to share with all my friends. Post. And then you can just kind of harvest that and be like, oh, so-and-so said they were having a good time. And here's a picture. So that means they like this kind of event. We should have more of that next time. It's not, I repeat, it is not good enough to just have a way for feedback and for it to just be accessible. Something has to be done with that feedback. So that's kind of coupled in with this number five. Convention organizers need to take the feedback to heart, please. I think we're all good people. We try, right? We want these conventions to be good. We want to have a good time. So the feedback has to be taken in, processed, thought about. And then, if appropriate, changes should be made based on the feedback. It may not be appropriate. Maybe it's not. But you won't know until you take that feedback in and you think about it. You're like, And then you can determine whether it's relevant for you as a convention to change. It's kind of like a review, like a work review. I think it's handy. I think it helps. I treat feedback for the show the same way. Someone sends feedback in, good, bad, the other, whatever. And I get it. And I read it. I digest it. And I think, okay, this person really likes when we do top five lists. Should I do more top five lists? Are they alone? Is it a valid point? I think someone writes in and says, you know, Jonathan, you're good, but you are so much better when you have someone to talk to. I think you should have more episodes with co-hosts. I read that and I think, do they have something? Are they right? I should listen to the stuff. Am I better when I have a co-host, when I have a guest, than when I'm on my own? Think about it and I choose how to act. Maybe I have more co-hosts. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do more solo. Maybe I'm like, they're wrong. I'm fine. Whatever. But it's important to take that feedback and actually give it the attention it deserves. So I think that is the last one on my list. So I hope that you will take this list to heart, all of you, whether you're an attendee, you're a GM, you're a sponsor, you're a vendor, you're a convention organizer. Next time you go to a convention, think about these things. Think, what is the convention doing well? What is it doing not well? What can it improve? Where can you improve? What are you doing well as an attendee? What do you bring to the convention? Are you having a good time? Are you helping other people to have a good time? Do you tell your friends about it? Are you shy about it? Are you like, oh, do you just badmouth it? Like, what? What is it? So think about it. Let's move on to one of my favorite parts of the show, mailbag. Yay! So mailbag, we have from our Facebook page, and you too can leave a comment on Facebook, WargamingRecon.com/Facebook. If you do so, you might get your feedback on the show, read by me or one of my co-hosts. I'm doing solo today, but you know, we got Mr. Mike Payne, we got Mr. Adrian Benson, and we got Mr. Alex Kostopoulos. One of the guys might read your feedback on the show, or me. So listener Don said of episode 176, Cigar Box Battle Mat Review, quote, "I'm selling them in the studio now," unquote. And Don, I am very happy that you are selling these. These mats are fantastic. And I tell you, that episode was several episodes ago, and when it was recorded, it was even longer. I'm still talking about it because people love these mats. They are fantastic mats. Thank you, Don, for writing in and sharing your thoughts on Facebook. I love hearing from listeners. Good, bad, the other, by the other, you know, whatever. Good feedback, bad feedback, or meh. I'm just want to talk because it's cool to have feedback. Whatever you want to put. I love hearing it. I really do. And things like this let me know what I should do with the show. Should we have more stuff about reviews, more cigar box battle things? Should we have less? Should we have whatever? So when you write in, it's as simple as just leaving a comment on Facebook. I get that and I'm like, hey, so I love the feedback. I love the cigar box battle mats. I do. I really do. Have a couple announcements for all of you. So first of all, for people, and we'll try to get a photo of this up on our social media, but I got at TotalCon this really cool flying platypus. So it's one of those Disney Infinity things, I think they're called. But it's, so there's a special event, unofficial event. I'm not really allowed to talk about, but the theme for events last year was one I came up with, a flying platypus. So got these favors at the special unofficial event, private event, and this is cool. I love it. So it's on display in the Wargaming Recon studios. It's really cool. We'll get a photo of it, I think, up on social media. I also want to say that we are now, thankfully, able to say we have met our latest Patreon goal. Yay! So we got another backer in. Thank you very much for your support. I don't want to identify you in case you don't want to be identified, is really what it is. But we are now have reached our last goal, which was the one for a while. I was like, we're $2 away because, like, we met it, but Patreon doesn't say we met it because it's the same price, which is kind of weird, but whatever. So that goal that we have reached is one that allows me to purchase new equipment so that I can record in person with a guest. I can get stuff so I can record with a co-host, a guest, or whatever, at a convention, anywhere really in person. So I haven't bought the stuff yet because it's going to take a little while for the money to, you know, come in and to accrue. But over the course of time, we'll be able to do this, be able to get things like another microphone, a pop filter, shock mount, mic stand, equipment, whatever, things so I can record in the field. And that was that goal. And we are now working towards the next one, and we're halfway there. Yay! So excited. This is an episode full of excitement. So we need to get, I'm trying to do math in my head, which is always a bad thing. We need $56 more per month to reach this next goal. Total amount is 108, but we already raised 52, so we need 56 more to get to this goal. And this next goal, and I know we can do it with your help, will allow us to have the show professionally even edited for audio. So an audio expert, Josh Shoebridge, will do the editing, and it's going to save a lot of time on my part so that I can then spend the time with my family and more other things for the show, things that really need my attention. And Josh is doing some of it right now. I'm just kind of paying him a little bit out of my own pocket. I can't really afford to do that, but he deserves a fair wage for his work. His audio editing is not easy. It's a bear, and he's a pro. He was on radio, and he knows what good audio sounds like. So when it's not so great, he needs to, you know, finagle that a little bit. He makes the show sound good. It's a better experience for you. So I hope if you are so able that you'll consider becoming a Patreon backer. It costs as little as $1 per month. That gets you behind-the-scenes content and episodes before non-backers. And then that counts towards our goal. You might want something like a t-shirt. Get a t-shirt by becoming a Patreon backer. Maybe you want a bumper sticker. Bumper sticker by becoming a Patreon backer. You pick the level you want. And if there's not a reward level that you like, I'll make a custom one for you. I have a custom Kyle level just for a certain person named Kyle. And he and I have worked out the details on that. So that's there. I'm happy to make a you level, whatever. Insert your name here. So contact me and we can make that happen. But I have other levels there for things like we have custom Wargaming Recon dice. I'll mail you a postcard every month with things that are going on. Just all sorts of different levels. So pick one, whatever you like, whatever you can afford, and we'll make that happen. And then we'll work towards getting this level reached for this goal so that Joshua can be paid a fair wage and the show can continue to be professionally edited for its audio, because I can't keep on paying him out of pocket. Unfortunately, it's not something I'm able to do. So I'm hoping we can get this goal sooner rather than later. He does a fantastic job. I'd love for this to continue. I want to make sure to thank our Patreon backers, Patrick, Chris Parker from dayofbattlegames.com, and Kyle from Vermont. I appreciate all your support and generosity. Like I said, you too can become a Patreon backer for as little as $1 per month. You can do that by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. And then don't forget our episode guide. We'll let you know about things that are coming up and about on the show. So I can tell you, for example, the next episode, episode 180, releases on April 10th, 2017. And that episode is our very exciting Havoc 2017 episode. So Adrian Benson and I are recording it live at Havoc. We'll be there. You'll be able to come if you're there. Come on over, see us. Maybe we'll take some audience feedback and interaction and make it into the show. And we're actually hoping to do a double episode recording that. And I think we're hoping to record the Wargamers Terrain Review episode there, which would be pretty cool. So April 10th, the Havoc 2017 episode comes out. April 24th, the Wargamers Terrain Review episode comes out. And if you go on our episode guide, you'll be able to see all the episodes that were planned, the themes, the topics, the guests, who my co-host might be able to see all that. Just kind of figure out what things might be cool for coming down the pipe. I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As I mentioned at the start of the show notes are probably going to be important for you. WarGamingRecon.com/WR179. That's WarGamingRecon.com/WR179. And that'll get you to the show notes so that you can see what I talked about and links to things and all that kind of stuff. Going to be at Havoc April 1st, 2017, doing a live recording with Adrian. Be there. Going to play in something. Be a really good time. I hope to see you there. If you're at Havoc, please say hi. I think you know what I look like by now, but I'll be wearing a black Wargaming Recon t-shirt. So it'll be a lot of fun. And that's what we got for you. So you know the deal. No matter how busy you are in your life, no matter what's going on, no matter how much gaming you're doing and how much time you're thinking about those pet peeves, you know, you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network.
This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association.
They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.